want to bring a message today out of Philippians chapter 4. Let me ask you a question. And the reason I'm asking you a question is because I need some friends on my side on this one today. Is your life pretty busy right now? How many of you would say that you find yourself from time to time, it may not be this season, but it very well could be this season, you find yourself on a hamster wheel and you seem to not be able to get off? Whew, okay, that happens, doesn't it, to us? I've learned over the years how to see it coming, how to watch for it, how to manage it when it happens, and how to get off when I find myself to be on it. But I have found myself in a season where I can't find the point to jump off the hamster wheel yet. I can see that it's coming, and I can look at the calendar and say, you know, if everything works out, I can begin to take a deep breath and slow down a little bit. And the reason I say that is this, is that I think we find ourselves sometimes in life trying to please too many masters. And not that we're not wanting to serve the Lord. I'm talking to Christians. I'm talking to people who love the Lord and who want to serve Him. But for whatever reason, we find ourselves in a place where we say yes to a lot of things. Our hands are in a lot of things. And God has provided us with those opportunities. And it seems like at certain times in the year, they all converge together and they're all happening at the same time. Does that ever happen to you? I find myself at night trying to get my mind to slow down, thinking, how am I going to manage this? And all of a sudden, I begin to get stressed. Then I can't go to sleep because my mind won't turn off. And I'm reminded of the concept of biblical contentment. That you have to be comfortable with where God has you. There are going to be times in life where you won't have as much to do and things will be a little calmer. And yet there will be other times where God has chosen to put you in a place. Notice, I'm not saying that you're allowing your life to get out of balance and you're allowing your life to get too far gone, because I think there's a season sometimes where we are extra busy and we can't turn loose of any responsibility, and it just seems to converge upon us from time to time. What gets us through that? Now, I will say this, that it's not right to constantly be always going, you're going to burn out, and you're going to burn out from both ends, and it's not going to end well. So the Lord would not have you be on that. But I'm talking about the person that's aware of that, the person that's doing their best to try to manage their life, to have the rightful place of worship balanced in their life, to have the relationship with their marriage balanced in their life, to have the relationship with their kids properly balanced, to have church life properly balanced, to have community service properly balanced, to have what you do for a living properly balanced, to have vacation properly balanced. Can I go on? To have recreation properly balanced. I mean, you have all of this going on. And sometimes it seems like a lot of this stuff all comes in and converges at one time. But I've noticed this over the years, that it's not here to stay. It's here for a moment. And what will get you through it? Quitting is not the answer. Sometimes you have to reevaluate. Sometimes you got way too much going on. But sometimes you realize it's just for a season. And in my life, I'm in that small season. I tell people this, that I saw a truck coming down the road and I looked and it was my truck and it was me inside of it. I'm meeting myself coming and going. It's just so much happening. But I have found in the book of Philippians what Paul has found. Now, I think Paul was better at it than I'll ever be. But we have something that the Bible calls the secret to contentment. What is contentment? Contentment is the satisfaction and the peace within your heart to be able to balance your life and accept what you can't change and to trust God through it all. And to not be like that long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. You know what I'm talking about? But to be calm and to have a spirit of contentment where you can rest in God, knowing that He has provided you what you need to get through this season. Philippians 4, if you'll take your Bible and stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. Philippians 4, verses 10 through 20. There's a lot in this passage. We can't cover it all. We're gonna hit some of the high points or the points that pertain to this subject matter. And it says here in verse 10 of Philippians 4, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me, Paul is saying to the Philippians. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. Let me ask you this question. Do you know what it is to be in need of some kind? Do you know what it is maybe to be in financial need at some point in your life? Do you know what it is to be an emotional, to have a need emotionally? Do you know what it is to have a need spiritually, relationally? Yes, we've all been in a place where we've been in need. And he says, and I know what it is to have plenty. Excuse me. This question. Have you ever been in your life where you've been flush with what enough? Now I know I'm talking to a largely blue collar bunch of people. You never have enough financially. But just think about it for a moment. We live in the beautiful state of Florida. Beautiful at this time of year. But houses aren't built the way they used to be built. Air doesn't flow through them anymore. If you don't have a way to cool yourself off, you shall surely die in the summertime. So anytime you go to that thermostat in August, like it was this year, and you set it to whatever temperature makes you comfortable, we have battles in the office and in my home about what that temperature should be. But whatever it is, if you have the ability to do that, you are not in need when it comes to those things. You know what I'm saying? So Paul's saying, I know what it's like to be in need, and I know what it's like to have plenty. I've been on both sides of that. But I have learned, he says, the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all things, or I can do all this through Christ, through Him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. And what Paul is saying, I've received full payment because you are faithful to Jesus. That's payment enough for me, he's saying. I am amply supplied now, and I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs. And in some versions it says, my God will supply all your needs according to the richness of his glory in Christ Jesus. Man, hang on that. My God will supply all your needs, not all your wants, but all your needs. Since a little boy, I wanted a motorcycle. I've never owned one. My parents were wise to know that it meant my early death if I had one. So they kept me from it. And though I've had a chance to ride many a motorcycle over my time, dirt bikes and road bikes, that's a want. But God has provided my needs. I want 10,000 acres. So not only can I hunt, but every one of you can with me. That's not a need, that's a want. But God has supplied all of our needs according to the richness of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that though Paul uses the phrase, the secret to contentment, he uses it not as something to be kept from people, but he uses it as a key. It's a key. It's the secret. It's the key to finding contentment in Christ, to having that peace, that calm heart. May we see that today, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, Coach. No, I'm good. Thank you. Contentment. Let's jump right into it. We have a lot to cover, but we're going to cover it in a short time here, I think. Contentment. Number one, here's the first thing I want you to see. Christians who are content are not the victim of circumstances. Paul says that I found myself in whatever circumstance I find myself in. I've learned to be content. So Paul is using the word circumstance, and he's telling us that circumstances do not dictate the peace and the joy of my heart. They don't. No matter how bad the circumstance may be, death may come to me or to my family, but it will not dictate how much I love Jesus. It will not dictate how much I value the future and what God would have in my life. I don't know if you know the story, you may have heard it a few weeks ago, of the young lady and her father who were hunting together and they got struck by lightning. A father and a young high school student from Palatka. Christian people, friends of Jeremiah and Kevlin. And this young lady was killed. She passed away. She had been living her life for Christ, and it's an amazing thing, the things that have happened. Jeremiah, you went and attended a baptism that they had, a public baptism as a result of her death, and all the people that were coming to know Christ because of the life that she lived. How many people were baptized at that public baptism? How much? Over 200 people in Palatka last week because of her death. Her dad, and I'm not on Facebook anymore, but her dad is posting so much on Facebook about his journey through this. And I'll tell you one thing that you can find out about her dad and some of the words that he said, and it's this. He's projecting that in Christ he has found, even in the death of his daughter, he's found the greatest fulfillment of joy, because hundreds of people have come to know the Lord as a result of that. Please forgive me here. My throat is struggling. And so, this father is living out this right here, that whatever circumstances I find myself in, I am not going to be the victim of those circumstances. And you can live your life being a victim all day long. See, ultimately, Christ was the victim. He was the victim of our sinful choices. He died and rose from the dead so that you and I can have a victorious life. Didn't he say that I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly? He wasn't talking about financial wealth. He was talking about spiritual wealth. He was talking about the richness of the soul. Money can't fix your heart. Status can't fix your heart. Celebrity can't fix your heart. It can't take care of what's going on the inside, but Jesus can. And in dealing with these circumstances, here are some things I want you to see what the scripture says. Number one, I can accept all things. I can accept all things in verse 11. He's saying here, for I have learned to be content in whatever the circumstances are. I've come to a place that I can accept all things. The second thing I want you to see about this is that I have all things. In verse 18, look at what Paul says here. He says, I have received full payment. I have more than enough. I am supplied now, and I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. He says here, I have received full payment. I have everything that I need. Y'all, listen, we have everything that we need in Jesus. We have it. We have love. We have forgiveness. We have hope. We have grace. We have purpose. We have passion. We have a direction in life. We have the truth. Through his word, we have it all. We have everything that we need. I have all things. That's why I can be content, and that's why I'm not a victim of my circumstance. And number three, I can do all things in verse 13. So I can accept all things, I have all things, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. The Tim Tebow verse, right? Remember Tim on the eye black here? When he played for the Gators, would have written Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all this. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's why I can be content. I've had people tell me this, and I've even said it. Pastor, there's no way I can go through what so-and-so has gone through and do it like they did. You know what my answer to that is? Yes, you can. You can't conceive it right now because you're not in it. But if you're in it, God will give you what you need. When you come to a place that you can accept all things, he will give you all things spiritually that you need to conquer that situation, to live through it, and then you can do all things through Christ. You can be an overcomer. So Christians who are content are not the victims of circumstance. Number two, contentment is a learned inner peace. It's an experienced peace. It's a learned inner peace. It's something that you grow into because you experience life and you struggle with things, but you learn through it. It says here in verse 12, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. He's been through some stuff, good and bad. And I have learned the secret. I have learned, he says, the secret of being content. That's the key word, the word learned. If you learn something, How do you learn? I'll tell you what's wrong with the modern education system today. We put people in a classroom and we lecture them. But most learning throughout all of human history is not just academic, but it's hands-on. Apprenticeship, right? Yes, there's an academic side to it, but you got to go do it. That's how I learn. I got to put my hands on it. You can give me, you know, I mean, I know how to drive a tractor. I've been doing it for a long time, but I mean, you can tell somebody how to drive a tractor. Recently, I went with someone, a friend, and he had never really driven a tractor. He bought one. Now, just think about that. He's asking a preacher to teach him about a tractor, not a farmer. But I've been on tractors. And so I sat in it, and I did a few things, and I showed him this, and I showed him that. And I said, but here's the thing. You got to get in the seat. Now, I showed you how to stop. That's the most important thing. All right? How many of you have ever gotten on a zero-turn mower for the first time and realized you didn't know how to stop? I've seen a couple of you. And though I laugh at you, I was in your shoes one time too. I ran into several bushes at the house years ago. First time I ever got on a zero turn. I couldn't stop it. The first thing I told them was, here's how you stop. So you don't tear this tractor up or take out the wall of that house. Okay? But you gotta go, you gotta feel it. You gotta do it. You gotta learn how. It's a learned experience. Well, it's the same thing with learning spiritual disciplines. You have to go through. You gotta know what it's like to be in a needy situation to learn how to trust God. And then you've got to know what it's like to handle when things are really well. And things are good. Are you still trusting God? Or are you trusting your resources that you have? You're talking about my what?
First time we did the mower.
Yeah, I remember that one time you did the mower and you were coming at me. I taught you how to stop, but you were coming straight at me and I said, I don't think he's going to stop. And I started running. I don't know if you remember that. I was like, I'm getting out of here. I mean, if he hits that tree, he hits the tree, but at least he didn't take me out with it. It's a learned behavior. You got to learn. You got to put your hands on it. You got to go do it. It's the same thing in life. It's the same thing in this Christian life that we live in. You got to hurt a little bit. You got to know what it's like to be in pain, to know what it's like to trust God when pain comes. And you got to find a place of contentment where you trust Him. It's experienced, and it's that inner peace. It's learned over time. And then when you go through it again or another situation, you realize, wait a minute, I've been through something before, and I remember God was with me. I sought the Lord, and He heard me back then, and He answered, and He helped me, and He got me through it. So this time, I'm not going to stress like I stressed last time. I'm going to be content knowing that God knows what's going on. He knows that it's not my sin that's caused this problem. And he's teaching me something through it. So I'm going to rest in Him. I'm going to be content in Him while the storm rages around me. I'm going to sleep good tonight. You learn it. It's experience. It's that inner peace. And you got to go through it to learn it. Number three, contentment is not an escape or an escape from the storm, but peace and calmness while in it. I just find this funny. You know, we live in Hurricane Alley, living in Florida, the whole peninsula, the whole thing, the whole panhandle. I mean, we're always a target, right? I was on a group message of some spiritual leaders when Idalia, is that the name of that storm that came through here? And man, if you looked at the track and the eye that particular day, I mean, it was was going to cut right through. Not, forget Newberry, right through this church. I sent that to my parents. I said, if this thing stays on the same line, we're going to eat it. It's coming. And so I was sent to see me. Hey, pastors, would y'all pray and all of that? Well, then the next day, I sent the mayor a picture of a new line. You know, it kept moving north and west a little bit. And as you know, I went a little bit away from us, and we didn't get necessarily direct hit. I mean, Cedar Key didn't get a direct hit, but they got it. They got it bad. Anyway, the point I'm making is that somebody responded in that and said, "Pastor, God answers prayer." And I'm thinking to myself, what about the pastors who prayed where the storm actually went? Did God not hear their prayer? The point I'm making is that God doesn't always deliver us from the storm. He is with us in it. And every one of us is going to have to go through a storm in life, or multiple storms throughout our lives, over and over and over again. And so contentment is not an escape from the storm. It's realizing that, okay, God, for whatever reason, I'm in this storm, but I know you're with me, and it's the peace that God gives you within you while you're in the middle of a storm. Contentment. It's not an escape from it, but it's peace and calmness within it while you're in it. I want to give you three things to end with, okay? And it's what I call Wiersbe's keys to contentment. Warren Wiersbe, the great pastor who went on to be with the Lord, and I love his book, the Exposition Commentary on the New Testament. Wiersbe's keys to contentment. Here are the three keys. Number one, the overruling providence of God. The overruling providence of God. In verse 10, he says here, "I greatly rejoice in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it." In other words, you had this deep concern, but God knew what was going on. Always keep this in mind. God knows what's happening. He's still on the throne. He hasn't forgotten about you. He knows where you live. He knows what you're going through. He knows what your fears are. He knows what your hang-ups are. He knows what your temptations are. And sometimes God fashions circumstances and situations and allows those things to happen for your good. And that's what we call the overruling providence of God. The second key to contentment is the unfailing power of God. So you've got God's providence. Now you've got the unfailing power of God. In verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Notice, it doesn't say I can do some things, or I can do just the things that I'm gifted for, or I can do just the things that I'm called to. It's amazing. You can do all things. You know, last week when Brother Cameron had to do all things. All things that day. God gave him the strength that he needed. God will give you the strength that you need when you need it. And so you can be content. Going back to what I started with earlier, sometimes it's not a situation of your making or your doing, but your circumstances are such that you feel overwhelmed. What is going to get you through that? The unfailing power of God. Think about your past. Think about where you came from. Think about times in your life when you felt like you were drowning. You felt like things were so overwhelming you weren't going to get through it, but you did. How did that happen? The unfailing power of God. He will never fail you. I'll give you this example. A few years back, we had a young man that needed a home. And the Lord impressed upon me to invite him to come stay with us. We knew that it was going to be at least a year-long commitment, and it ended up being about a year and a half. I had a teenage daughter at home. Now here I am bringing a young teenage man into our house, young man. I called Penny. We talked about it. I said, unfortunately, this is a time-sensitive situation. We got to act upon it in the next day or two. We got to make a decision. We made a decision. We felt the Lord leading us in that direction. And listen to this. We brought him in. We had a conversation with him. We sat him down. I'll never forget where we sat him on the sofa. We said, here's the way we operate here. You're going to be treated just like everybody else here. You're not going to be treated special, but you're not going to be treated like you don't belong. She's your sister. You understand that? She's your sister. Sister. You don't try to date your sister. We're not having that garbage in my house, okay? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. All right. All right. You're going to be respectful. You're going to clean your stuff up. Here's how we're going to do it. And we're going to be a happy family. Okay? That's how things are going to work. I woke up the next morning. I'm wiping the junk out of my eyes. I'm washing my face. I put my glasses on, getting ready to brush my teeth. I start brushing my teeth. And I normally don't brush my teeth with my glasses on because, you know, the toothpaste like splatters into your glasses. It's just not fun. And so I'm looking at myself in the mirror, and I rinse the toothbrush off, spit. What have you just done? Are you out of your mind? The mirror was repeating exactly what I was saying. I'm like, all of a sudden I got scared. Uh-oh, we had a real good life. Now it just got complicated. And if I'd have just kept my big mouth shut, we wouldn't have to go through this. I can't do this. I remember saying, this is a mistake. I can't do it. I'm scared. I don't know what to do. I don't know if we can do this. I don't know if it's going to work. But at some point in that process over the next few days, I was able to take a deep breath and trust the unfailing power of God and the overruling providence of God to help me deal with what I felt totally unprepared for. It's amazing. I said yes. We said yes, we're going to do this. And then I started contemplating the next day what I didn't have to be able to accomplish it. And I realized that, boy, I can't spend the next year, year and a half upset like this, because this is not going to be good for anybody. So God, I'm going to have to calm down. I'm going to have to trust you. And God got us through it. And we provided a good home for that young man. He provided us with a lot of good times. And we're still praying for him today. Number three. Wiersbe's keys to contentment. The unchanging promise of God. The unfailing power of God, the overruling providence of God. But notice this, the unchanging promise of God, verse 19. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. My God will supply all your needs. Anytime there's anything going on in the world, who do the nations call for help? The United States of America. We need missiles. We need this. We need that. We need billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of taxpayer dollars. We need this. We need that. And guess what America does every time? We give it to them. I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm just saying that's what happens. I think a lot of it is wrong, but anyway. I think the world thinks, and the leaders of Washington think, that America is filled with unlimited supplies. But we're not. There's a limit. And that's part of the problem with inflation. You and I are having to pay all that to take care of the whole world. But here's the point I'm making. God supplies are limitless. And God will supply you with everything that you need. It's the unchanging promise of God. For God will meet every need that you have. Every need, not every want, but every need that you have. And He will supply it from the supply room of the richness of the fullness of the glory of Jesus Christ. In other words, at your disposal will be the arsenal that Jesus has to overcome anything that comes your way. You need forgiveness? God's got it for you if you'll be willing to obey Him. He can supply it for you. You need peace? He's got it. He will supply it. But you got to realize He will supply it. And you got to trust Him through it. It's the unchanging promise of God. You need a spirit of contentment in the midst of all the chaos? He can supply it. But you got to trust Him. It comes from His resources, not yours, not your mind, not your cleverness, not your ability, not my strength. It comes from Him. He will supply everything that you need. It's no secret, because we've all walked together through a lot of challenges recently in the life of our church. And you, as champions of the cross, have taken it with stride. And you've obeyed the Lord and you continue to follow Him. And some of the things we've had to deal with, as you all know, behind the scenes with a former youth pastor and other things that I won't mention. Things that have been very, very difficult. And I'm not going to lie to you, there have been many days since then, many, not one, not a few, but many, where I didn't know that I could find another tear to shed. Over the hurt because of someone's sin, over the stress of not knowing this or not knowing that. And even me saying one time, God, I just don't have it. You got the wrong guy. I don't have anything left in the tank. But listen, that's exactly where God wants me and you. Empty yourselves out of yourself and let God fill you. And God began to show me again and again and again. I've learned this lesson many times, but it's quicker now, and you learn it quicker, and you realize that, listen, okay, His overwhelming providence, He knows what's going on. This hasn't caught Him by surprise. And so His unfailing power will be there for me when I need it. He'll be there for our church when we need it. He'll give us what we need. And His promises are unchanging. And that supply that He has for us is amazing and wealthy and deep if we'll trust Him. And then He provides the contentment that you need to take the next step, to wake up the next day. From the young mom who's pregnant out of wedlock and she might be considering an abortion. For whatever reason, maybe she doesn't have a husband or a man in her life that can help her, or maybe it's just like financially, they can't see how in the world they're going to be able to afford it. But yet, The circumstances work out either through their own heart, through the scripture they know, through another believer. They realize, no, that's not the answer. That's not the answer. I've got to go forward with life. I'm a Christian, or I want to follow God, or I want to do the right thing. This baby deserves a chance to live. But I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to feed him or her. I don't know where I'm going to go, what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to make it through this situation. And they're very uncontented. I don't know if that's a word or not, but I just made it up. But somehow, through the Lord, they find a peace that only God can give. And it unlocks the treasure trove of the providence of God that, oh man, God knows my name. He knows what I'm going through. He hasn't forgotten me. We have the promise of God. And then we have the power of God to make it through. He's not finished with you. You have a purpose. You have a reason for living. He has you here for a reason. And while some of the circumstances might be of your own sinful choices, God can take even that if you'll humbly obey Him and use it for His good and for the glory of God. He can bring glory to Jesus through it all. You can have contentment. In this life, Jesus said, there will be plenty of trouble. But do not lose heart. I have overcome the world, He tells us in John chapter 14. My dear friend, don't give up. Trust Him. You don't have to throw a fit. You don't have to try to figure it all out. Take a deep breath. Rest in Him. Trust in Him. And let the contentment, the joy, the inner peace of God just begin to penetrate deep within your soul and your heart and your being. It will change your life. And you'll have what you need. And you'll make it through. And not only that, but you will in turn be able to teach someone else what God got you through. That's the secret. You want joy? Learn how to be content in whatever circumstance you're in. Trust it. Let me end with this. How many of you, if you're running a little late to get to work on a Monday morning, and you turn the key of your vehicle and you hear this noise? How many of you, seriously, be honest, that at that moment would rock your world? Okay. Dead battery. Used to be not that big of a deal, because it wasn't that expensive to replace one. Y'all bought a new battery lately? I got batteries galore. I got a camper. I got a tiny house. I got a boat. I got a truck. Got a car. We've got a couple of mowers here for the church. Got golf carts. I mean, I'm eat up with batteries. And when they fail, and trust me, that's why I've spent money on maintainers. When they fail, it kind of cramps your style a little bit, right? I'm late on Thursday morning. I'm painting the Newberry Field. I got a window of daylight. I know how much time I need so that I can finish Thursday afternoon. I'm content with my schedule until I get into my truck. You dog. I get out of the truck. I start looking around. There's not a soul at the church. I'm like, it's Thursday. This place usually has 500 cars here. with CC, where are they? So I get this bright idea. Well, I got a golf cart with some batteries. I'm going to jump it off with that. Didn't work. Wait a minute. I got mowers. Drive the mower out, hook it all up. I got the mower hooked up to it. Got the mower running. I'm like, God, dog. All right, I'm going to let the mower run a while. Oh, Jen. When are you getting here? Oh, I'm on my way. I'll be there shortly. Hey, can you come give me a jump? Just come straight to my driveway. I said, my truck's dead. So as she's driving up, the mower had been running 5 minutes or so, and I went, I cranked it up. It cranked right up. I went, I'm pretty smart. How many dudes have ever cranked their truck up with a mower? I texted my wife. I said, you married a scholar, baby. You married up. I'm somebody, man. I was feeling myself. I thought I was good. Jen drives up. I said, it worked. It started. She's shaking her head like, man, what a redneck we got over here. But I'll tell you this. When that went, I went, oh, man. And I just took a deep breath, and I said, it's a battery. It's all right. And I looked, nobody was at the church. I'm like, uh-oh, what am I going to do? It's all right. It's contentment. Worst case scenario, you walk to school. It take you a little while, but you got enough time to probably finish the field today. It's all good. God provided. He always does. And I was real nice and content until we had to go buy that battery. Then I was mad. And I bought a cheap one for $230. I don't know about you, but $230 is a lot of money to me. Fred Sanford, Elizabeth, I'm seeing that's one less trip to Alabama to hunt. God provides, doesn't he? He provides what we need, and he brings contentment to our lives, even in the mundane of life, even in the simple. It could be something like that, like what I experienced. It could be something a whole lot worse than that. I heard of someone who used to come to our church. I'm praying for him. I'm not going to mention his name. But he was diagnosed with cancer. I'm not going to mention what kind, but and given a pronouncement of how many months he's got left to live. And I prayed for him that God, would you give him contentment in his heart, that he knows you, and that he finds peace knowing that he belongs to you. Even with a death sentence, you can have contentment. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you for the holy word of God. We trust you today. Help us to grow and to learn what contentment means. Help us to find that whatever circumstances we're in, whether in need or in plenty, we have a God who provides, a God who is powerful, a God who has promises that he has made to us. We will trust him. We will trust you, Lord. As God has spoken to you and me this morning, I'm going to encourage you to obey him, to follow him. You can pray at this altar, seek him however he's leading you. Maybe today is a day you're going to make your commitment to Jesus public, or maybe God's leading you to join our church. However God is leading you during this time of what we call invitation, as our worship team is getting ready to lead us, you come. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.